The homily this morning will be based on the scripture just read from Romans chapter 8, 11 through 18. In the first four chapters of Paul's epistle to the Romans, he preached in detail justification before God as a result of faith, not on the basis of works. He shows that God's wrath is upon both Gentiles and Jews, that all have sinned and come short of fulfilling God's law, and that God declares sinners just, using sikkaio, a forensic or legal term. All this because of what Christ has done in our behalf. In chapters 5 through 8, Paul describes the life of a Christian as one of freedom. Freedom from God's wrath, in chapter 5, freedom from sin, chapter 6, freedom from the law, in chapter 7, and in chapter 8, as freedom from death. The text for this morning, from the 8th chapter, centers on the topic from death to life, and may be developed under three headings: the past action of God, the present situation of the Christian, and the future hope of Christians. The past action of God, raising Jesus from the dead, was God's stamp of approval on Jesus' atonement for humanity. Jesus' resurrection proves that God accepted his life and death in our stead, as the promised Messiah, as God's Son, who redeemed us from damnation, from eternal death. Note the direct connection Paul makes between our resurrection and that of Jesus. Our freedom from eternal death is the direct result of the resurrection of Christ. The same God, he says, who raised Christ will also raise us. The same agent, the Holy Spirit, is involved in both our resurrection and Jesus' resurrection. Paul is stressing again, as he did in the first four chapters, that our spiritual redemption, our position as followers of Christ, is completely the work of the triune God. Our nature, we are doomed to death, unable to alter our spiritual situation. Our mundane goals of success and accomplishments in life may be achieved through natural talent and endeavor. But our salvation, our relation to the just, eternal, omnipotent God is completely the result of God's grace, mercy, and love. Through this past action of God, without any merit on our part, Christians are now in a peculiar present situation. We are debtors, yes, but not in the same way as previously. We are indebted to our benefactor, the triune God, no longer to our natural sinful desires. A change takes place. The Spirit of God lives in us, dwells, as Paul says, in our mortal bodies, guides and leads us. We are not led by fear, as under bondage or slavery to sin and death. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, as a result of God's past action, we presently are God's sons, God's children. We may approach Him with the address of Abba, Father, two equivalent terms, one in Aramaic and the other in Greek. To elaborate on our present situation, St. Paul again, as in previous chapters, has recourse to a legal term. As he chose the verb dictai o'o to teach that it is God who declares us just, a legal acquittal from our merited deed, so in chapter 8, St. Paul illustrates our current situation by the term adoption. In Roman society, adoption implies a declarative and forensic act. Adoption bestows an objective standard. It is a pronouncement that does not need repeating. It has permanent validity. Like justification, adoption rests on the loving purpose and grace of God. In verses 15 and 16, Paul uses two terms for Christians which at first glance may appear to be synonymous, children and sons. But perhaps he implies a slight distinction. Children emphasizes the family relationship, while sons stresses more the legal standard. Another truth about adoption is contained in verse 17. Adoption involves an inheritance. We are heirs of God. Roman practice allowed even a slave, once adopted, to inherit his master's possessions. St. Paul is teaching that the Christian follows a similar course. One who is by nature a slave to sin, by adoption becomes a son of God and finally an heir of God. Our peculiar present position as mortal, sinful humans who have been redeemed and adopted as God's sons and heirs results in a certain dualism. Although our spiritual situation has changed through Christ's atonement, our existence in God's kingdom of grace is not yet totally separated from our natural mundane desires. Although free from sin, we still must do battle against sin. Our life is still in the flesh and in mortal body, exposed to sinful desires, even though we are assured of final separation from such enemies in eternity. There are basically two different ways for a human being to live, according to the flesh and according to the Spirit. Since as Christians we have received the Spirit, Paul teaches that we should walk in the Spirit and let the Spirit permeate our lives. In this life, then, there remains a dualism for the Christian. The flesh and the Spirit are at war. That the Christian is able to do battle against the flesh is due to the fact that he does not wage war alone and through his own strength. He is guided, and as Paul says, he is led by the Spirit. Thus, the present existence of the Christian is a change from death to life, to a life led by the Spirit. He who believes in Christ no longer stands under the dominion of eternal death. He now already lives in the Spirit. Through the Spirit of adoption, a Christian draws near to God as a merciful Father. Our present situation as heirs of God by adoption also gives us assurance for the future. St. John says in his Gospel, chapter 3, verse 2, "It does not yet appear what we shall be," that is, as fellow heirs with Christ. Christ has already entered the new eon of resurrection. Three times in verse 17, Paul uses the prefix, the preposition sin, meaning with. We are fellow heirs with Christ. We suffer with him. We shall be glorified with him. While in this life we are partakers with him in suffering, in the life to come we shall be participants in his glory. Only then shall we enter into the full inheritance which has already been assured for us. So the past action of God and the present situation of Christians in this life are steps to the consummation of our future eternal glory in heaven assured for us by Christ. For he who raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in us. Amen. May the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.